discussion with Ajahn Chikchen in Bangkok, August 2022, after the trip to Bang Sai. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. The speakers include Sarah, Jonathan, Vincent, Azita, Nina, Gern, Sundra, Anne, Cindy, Dream, Jagrit, Maeve, Eve, Harji, Hang, Tin, Shanti, Sukin, Betty, Yotika.
On our journey back from Bang Sai, we had more discussion with Vincent about his topic. And one point that came up was he wondered, or maybe his friends wondered, if there's too much emphasis on now and not enough on awareness of the past. Or what was the point that you were making? I think you did mention where there was too much emphasis on now.
No, it's relatively, we have much less discussion about the third stage of the Vipassana Dhyana. We talk about Nama is Nama, Rupa is Rupa, and the by condition. That's the first two stages. And then we talk about rise and fall. That's the fourth stage. So we rarely explicitly discuss third stage, which actually is, because when Ajahn, you were talking about the dog seeing, cat seeing, the diva, that means internal, external, near and far. So that's already included. So any kind of visible object has the same characteristic. That's basically is superior or inferior. So that different perspective were actually discussed. The reason I asked the question is I was reading a sutta. For example, the Anattanakana Sutta, the Buddha mentioned about past, future, present, the 11 perspective, internal, external. And then in Rahula Sutta, the Buddha also talked about the 11 instances, the 11 perspective. And then the Buddha gave a detailed description of the earth element internally, externally, very, very detailed. You know, the hair, different parts of the body. So I was wondering, even at a high level of Rahula's banya, the level close to enlightenment, the Buddha was still giving him the very detail of the earth element, internal and external. So that's why I have this question, right?
Is it not now?
Yes, sure.
If everything can be known, no matter we talk about Vipassanayana or Mahabhutarupa and group and so on, they are now to be known stage by stage, depending on understanding. Right. For example, can this moment be Vipassanayana? See? Possible. Yeah. Depends on conditions. Right. If there's no understanding of the truth of whatever is now at all, how can there be the moment of realizing the truth of that which now arises and falls in? That's why depending on understanding of the truth, stage by stage. Mm-hmm. For example, now, if it's the I see, it's impossible to understand that which is conditioned to arise and falls away, not I. Mm-hmm. When it's I is here and seeing is here. So I see, it's not any Dhamma.
Right.
So now, no one. Different realities, different levels of understanding of the truth.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the discussion at Bang Sai, as John was saying, because in the Visuddhimagga, it said this insight, this stage of insight, mm-hmm. is inductive. This stage is inductive insight.
When there's no understanding of the truth of now, can that be known, that level?
No, right. So, the Buddha in a different sutta told the bhikkhus or Rahula, so that must mean something they need
to understand that very moment.
To kind of expand to the Vipassana Dhyana to any time, anywhere, any
in
quality.
In order to understand that very moment, what is there?
Right. But because the person has already the knowledge of the first two Dhyana,
Not now.
No, I mean, the Inner Sutta. So maybe, you know what I mean? That Buddha kind of, you don't like the world expand, but just to tell them whatever rupa, any rupa arise, either past or future.
Between moment of vipassanayana and this moment now. Right?
Right.
But he taught what was needed to be heard by the individual listener. So, and as we know, the different stages of insight occur in that order, naturally, not by any direction in or determination. So I'm not quite sure what the point is, apart from the fact that it's the stage that comes after the second one and before the fourth one.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll just stay with one point first. Like Rahula already has a very high level of Abhanya at that time, but the Buddha still gave him the detail of what's the earth internally.
No matter what stage, can he talk about what is there as it is?
Yes.
And depends on the accumulation of right understanding enough for different people mm-hmm. to really understand that moment, mm-hmm. whether it's what stage mm-hmm. of understanding.
I think the difficulty is what you mentioned the other day, that the insight affects the understanding now, what is read, but it has to be the other way around, because it's by understanding what hardness is now, deeper and deeper, that it is understood, whatever hardness it is, whatever hardness ever arose, whatever hardness will arise, whatever hardness is inside or outside, it is hardness, that sort, has that yes. characteristic. So one can add more and more detail to understand that every hardness without exception is to be understood as it is, as Dhatu, as not self at all. Because people will misread like this section of the Visuddhimagga, and like you mentioned, they think of 11 groups and they think there has to be understanding of hardness inside and outside and past and future. But if there is no understanding, no direct understanding of hardness now, what is read will be misunderstood.
That's what I meant, expand by knowing the characteristic now and expand to any time, anywhere, any quality. So it's called inductive insight stage.
It's the direct understanding of reality, because no doubt about the characteristic of hardness. It's always now. So that characteristic is just the same. Hardness is hardness. No question about hardness in the Buddha's time or any other time. It's just what appears
that's
now.
That's what that stage achieved at that stage. Before that stage, it's not really...
I think that when there's the understanding, for example, even at the first stage, the characteristic of hardness is understood, but the understanding has to be developed and understood of many, many different realities, many different khandhas on, to understand their conditioned nature and to understand how each one arises and falls away. And as we discussed the other day, this is the meaning of khanda. So any khanda, past, future, present, inner, outer, subtle, so on, arises and falls away, and it's just a dhamma, no one there at all. So this is the understanding of khanda. Without the understanding of reality, there cannot be the understanding of what khanda is, and the deeper understanding of the arising and falling away of khanda. And at the moment of understanding hardness, for example, no thought about whether it's inner or outer. But when we read all those details in the Rahula Sutta, it indicates whatever hardness it is, no matter in any part of the body or anywhere outside, it's always just that characteristic. It's always just kanda, the Dhamma which arises and falls away. So it's not a matter of thinking of internal and external, but understanding the nature of the reality deeper and deeper, and understanding that it arises and falls away, gone completely. And this is kanda.
In fact, you could say it could be a distraction to introduce the concept of that inductive understanding at a stage where it had no actual relevance.
So we'll get back to that distraction. It could be a distraction, but maybe the conclusion is the significance of that stage is the achievement of, yes, it's universally true. At that time, it's really have the confidence it's universally true. That's what the stage achieved.
And it's no thinking or no understanding of past hardness, but by directly understanding the hardness that appears now, then every hardness is like that.
But that may not be as easy, because we see from the sutta, the people need the reminder from the Buddha talking about the 11 perspective, and then tell them whatever rupa, you know, whatever rupa in the past or future. So they still need, even at that kind of level of banya, they still need a reminder.
I think we know that reminders are needed. This is about the factors, the four factors for enlightenment. The association with the good friend is necessary for the whole of the path of development. Hearing the true Dhamma is necessary. It does not just for the beginner, it's all the way through. So every incremental bit of understanding has to be heard and considered before it can be realized.
Yeah. Because one of the questions about this stage is, what's the significance of it? And because this stage is the beginning of Vipassana Jnana according to Visuddhimagga, and this stage conditions the knowledge of what is the past, what is not the past. So it must have something to do with the confidence of this universal truth. I read it something like, to have the knowledge of what is the past and what is not the past, then the need to apply to comprehension by group.
And obviously it's necessary because it's one of the stages, and all the stages would have to be necessary. You couldn't leapfrog without.
Right.
So I don't know what you've just said takes it any further than that, does it?
Actually, initially, the question coming from, what's so special about this stage that it's mentioned there? Because after that stage, it's become principle, Vipassana Jnana.
No matter inside or outside, reality is reality, right?
Yes.
Theoretically, whatever is there is taken for in or out. But what is the characteristic of that, no matter it's out or inside, outside or inside? So at moment of being aware of a reality, can it be that which is outside or inside? Any moment, because no one can choose or select the outside not to be known, not to be aware of, or only the inside. Whatever is real and the idea of outside and inside is there, but in truth, no understanding of the characteristic, the truth of it as it is just hardness, no matter inside or outside. But the idea takes it for its inside now. It is aware of that inside, and it is aware of that which is outside, but it can be aware of that which is thought as outside or inside, to understand the nature of that. No one there at all. When there is no one, can there be still inside or outside? No one. Before that, it's outside or inside. It's I or thing here and there. But the truth of, no matter it's here or there or wherever it is, there must be a reality. And if they don't have the idea, whether it's inside or outside, a characteristic which is seen, which is heard, is there to be known. Its characteristic as different characteristic of that which is conditioned to arise and then gone.
And when it's understanding of hardness, for example, no thought about inside or outside, because it's only the thinking that gives the idea of inside or outside afterwards, but the hardness itself is just the reality which is experienced.
At a moment. And earlier you said that to summarize the comprehension by groups, it's the realization of the universality of the understanding.
The characteristic of Dharma is
yes.
Absolutely true, unchangeable anywhere, anytime.
Right. Doesn't that answer your question about what is the significance?
No.
So unless you're suggesting that that should come later and not earlier, or that seems to me a good explanation of the significance of this stage, leading to what you say is the beginning of real insight.
I'm still trying to understand or make sure why this knowledge of universally true, a characteristic is universally true, would condition the knowledge, what is the past, what is not a past. So before that, the knowledge is really not there yet. What is the past, what is not a, it makes sense, right? It has to be universally true before there is a certain, to make sure this is the past.
Yes, because the path is supposed to lead to the ending of samsara.
Right.
So it would have to be knowledge that was universal to samsara,
right.
Wouldn't it?
Right, right. So
I think that when the Buddha taught about how any rupa, past, future, present, inner, outer, gross, subtle, has the characteristic of being the rupa which arises and falls away, it's not because those who have attained the third stage of vipassana jnana need to hear that. It's a description of what is known. No doubt at that moment that any hardness has to fall away. And no matter whether it's in the past or the future, this is the characteristic of it. No thought of trying to look for inner or outer, because whatever rupa it is, anywhere inside or outside, it's just rupa, but it's taken for all these parts of the body. But Samasana Jnana, there is the understanding of what Khanda is. So the Khanda is the reality, no matter when it arose or when it will arose, it arises and falls away. And this is the description of what is realized at that point.
Patching, we use the word patching, the table. Hardness is there, outside or inside. Should outside. It be known?
Yes.
Without the idea of whether it's outside or
right.
inside.
Right.
Touching here.
Right.
Anywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. But still, even for Rahula, Venerable Rahula, at that stage, the Buddha still need to tell him, remind him internally is the same as externally. So that's indicate Venerable Rahula didn't have that perfect realization is the same. The Buddha need to tell him about the internal and external. Maybe that's wrong speculation. Yeah. But I wonder why Buddha mentioned that to him.
Why should it be known?
Yeah, it should be known, yes.
No matter it's outside or inside.
Right, right.
And I don't think in that sutta to Rahula it mentions anything about third stage of insight and samasana jnana at all. So we can't say that at that point he had already realized the samasana jnana. And we can't say that.
What's the purpose to mention past, future, present, internal, external, if that is, if it's not for the universal truth?
It is, like we said, it's nothing to do with understanding groups. It's to understand that whatever khanda it is, this is the nature of it. The rupa khanda time of the Buddha, the rupa khanda in the deva realm, the rupa khanda now.
But now we just assume it, right?
Each, sorry?
Now we just assume it.
I think it is not assuming, it is the understanding. When there's the understanding of the characteristic of hardness, deeper and deeper.
I think we've probably discussed it enough, but yeah. Just one last question. Why is it so remarkable to you that the Buddha mentioned this to Rahula?
Because I was a bit surprised, even at his level, the Buddha was still talking about the internal part. And
sorry, what level is that?
I think Rahula was enlightened soon after all the discourses.
Excuse me if I can just say, add something here. What I hear Vince saying, it might be just a matter of language, but I think I'm hearing what the others say there, Vince, that it's just a way of referring to dhammas generally, that all dhammas need to be known. I don't, I think just because the Buddha used, internal, external, et cetera, et cetera. He has to convey Dhamma in some way. I haven't looked at the Pali, but I suspect it's just the same, pretty much the same anyway. He's referring to all different Dhammas that need to be known and may be seen to be. I'm just speculating here to some extent from your perspective that, you see that as something unique or special, but I don't think it needs to be like that. I just think it's just a way of referring to Dhammas, different Dhammas and their the way they appear and to, and the need to develop understanding of all dhammas, whatever they are. And I can appreciate at one level, how come, you're thinking how come, but I don't necessarily think that it's really so important as just to be a reminder of whatever dhamma that appears. I don't think it's too much more than that.
Yes, agree. But I think I'm in. Yeah, Ajahn.
Suppose we are now reading Tipitaka. It depends on the understanding of the reader. Even the word is the same. For example, when you talk about the past and the present and the future, what is this moment? Past, present, future? Or only present or only past?
In a way, it's both.
That's why it depends on the understanding of the reader, at what stage, at what level it means. For example, talking about the past, we think about yesterday or last month or just a moment ago. But now, even at moment of touching, that which appears gone and then the new one, no one knows. So very short. And that which hasn't come yet, the future has come to be present. So there has to be the understanding of what is meant by different level of understanding. The present now, see, we think that it's present, but in truth it's gone. Past. And the next one, future, is now. Like this. So the meaning of the truth is, the teaching of the Buddha is that all dhammas are conditioned to arise and then fall away instantly. So panya can understand the nimitta even of the arising and falling away. But without the reality which really arises and falls away, there cannot be the nimitta of that which is there and then gone, moment to moment.
Yeah, John, what you just mentioned makes sense because it's the past, it's the just the moment before the present. That's why it's conditioned. The next stage, one by one, arise and fall. It's getting closer and closer, arise and fall.
So it depends on the understanding of the reader. Because someone who just begin to read Tipitaka, present is seeing. But the one who has understood the truth or experience directly vipassanayana knows what is meant by past, present, and future. Closer and closer to the truth.
And it's only by understanding the nimitta of reality, which has just fallen away, and another reality and another reality, that there can be the understanding of what is meant by smasanayana, the understanding of groups.
it's not a matter of thinking about interior and exterior and past and future, but understanding the nature of realities that arise and fall away in such rapid succession that there can be the nimitta of those realities, understand what arises together at that moment. Like now, if we think about the arising and falling away, it's thinking, it's not the direct understanding. But now we're talking about the direct understanding of the rapid succession of realities by way of nimitta to understand what is meant by the group. Yes. So it's very deep. So without the understanding of reality now, deeper and deeper, the understanding of what khanda is now, impossible to understand what is meant by groups or what is meant by the arising and falling away or the nimitta of different realities that have arisen and fallen away in rapid succession. Chanti, I said that perhaps we can have a chat about your reflections because we all send our sympathies on the passing away of your father. Is there anything you would like to discuss or any reflections you've been having? I'm sure Ajahn and others may add more.
I haven't been on DSG. Thank you, everyone. Well, maybe just what I put on DSG, that I'm experiencing such more simplicity and not worry and thinking since, well, it's only been 7 months. I've been learning with all of you the right teachings of the Buddha. And it's completely different from another close loss I've had. I was completely lost in thinking and delusion. And so I'm very grateful. I'm even happy at moments because of all the considering and new life and not knowing anything. I mean, new life that after Chuti Chitta, there's Patisandhi and no remembering. So not the idea that my father is somewhere missing us. And I shouldn't be missing anything because I don't know what there's now. So that's very, very practical. And that's what I wanted to share with all of you, that the Abhidhamma in this case is so practical for me in daily life. I have just another question. I was trying to read a passage from the book of Khunsu Jin, A Survey of Paramattadhammas. And I'm at the moment very much interested in Vipaka. And I understand Vipaka can be in sensor process several cittas. The one, of course, of the citta that at the moment rupa impinges on the sense base, but then before and after, I understand as well. After only the receiving and the investigating citta, but I'm interested also about the last vipaka cittas, the Tadaramana and the Bhavanga, because it's I can't find a passage, but the thing is there it's not the same, yet there's still Vipaka and there can be latent tendencies even though the object may not be unpleasant or pleasant. This is not very clear yet. I really like to hear more about that. Just how Vipaka is different in Tadaramana and Bhavanga cittas from the Vipaka we discuss a lot. Thank you.
What about can it be known?
Bhavanga cannot be known. I don't know about Tadaramana.
แทนปัญจทวารวัฒนาบีโนนแทนสัมปติชนาบีโนน
I don't think so. Only the experiencing of the rupa can be known.
The rupa,
sure,
as the object, only can be known. What yes. can be known is only that which is the object of experiencing.
Right.
That's all. So no matter how much we think about that paramana, we know that when the rupa hasn't fallen away yet, and the chavana, seven moments gone, what is left is conditioned by.Kamma to experience that, that's all, because it's still there. That's the function of the Dhalambana, experience the same object of that Dhavya.
Like, even after the Javanas that hasn't changed.
The object is there, it hasn't fallen away yet. So there can be two moments before it's gone, drop the object.As long as it's not gone yet, it can be object of that vipaka, which is conditioned by kamma, to experience it, just like santirana and the talambana. That's why the talambana is santirana and mahavipaka, which can perform the function of the talambana. That's all.
The kind of time when sampatichana and santirana is there all the time, but...They don't appear with like seeing, hearing, smelling, limit of hearing, seeing, tasting, and so on. That's appearing daily life. But the, the vipaka is santirana, sampatichana. They don't appear.
What appears in a day? Seeing now, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and then thinking.That's all. That's why they are nimitta of nama, anama, or nimitta of nama, the experiencing, and the mitta of rupa. What is there now is only nimitta. So we live, everyone live in the world of nimitta.
If only onenothing appears. Impossible.
Shanti, it depends when the rupa impinged on the sense space. For example, as you know, there are the last three Bhavanga chittas and then the 14 chittas maximum in the process. And whether all 14 chittas, including the Tadaramana, experience the rupa or not,depends on when that rupa impinged on the sense base. If it just impinged at the moment when the last three Bhavanga chittas arose, then there have to be the Tadaramana chittas, these last vipaka chittas experiencing that rupa because it hasn't fallen away. But if the rupa, the visible object, for example, had impinged earlier than 2 moments earlier, for example, then not necessary. So it depends on when that rupa falls away as to whether they arise.
Yes, Shanti, that, just sort of adding on a little bit to what Sarah said there. To do with the strength, we can put it that way, of the object. The first one is called Mogawara. Moga means like,It's not much there, and wara means cycle. So the mogawara, the object, has virtually fallen away, so it doesn't go very far into the sense store process. The next one I understand is called you've got four different types. One that goes as far as the first down to watapana and doesn't go any further.That's the next level. I'm forgetting the Pali name. The next level is when the object goes right as far as the last jhāvana process, last jhāvana in that sense or process. and the what's called the Atimahantawara, that's the very big one, or the one which is very fresh, so to speak. I don't know if this makes any sense, but it goes right through to Taddaramana, so it fulfills all the witi, all the complete cycle. So it's just to do with, as Sarah alluded to, the strength of the object. Has it fallen away before? Has it fallen away before, largely, or is it still fresh? And therefore, the object can go right through the whole witi, right through to the last two, Taddaramana, which, as you know, vipaka cittas. So it's to do with the strength of the object. It's not so important. And how I understand your question is like trying to understand, like, you know, you mentioned you're reasonably fresh in the Dhamma, and I think you've done remarkably well in trying to put it all together. And Ajahn would always remind us that the most important thing is to have an appreciation of the Dhamma that's appearing now. That is the most important. These things can be really helpful because as I read them at times, it helps us to understand not only the nature of conditionality, this just the way that things they are, and it can be helpful, like what you're doing, to tease them out so you get a clearer picture intellectually, so that understanding can grow. But it's not to say it will, just because you know the intellectual gymnastics of it all, but it can be helpful. So I would just say it's to do with the strength of the object, which can be very young and tender, and therefore goes right through those 17 moments, which actually start, as you know, with the first three bhavangas. They don't start at the beginning of the witi, but they start actually at the first three, you know, atita bhavanga, bhavanga chalana, bhavanga buchheda, and then you get those 14 moments subsequent to that, and that would depend upon the strength of the object.
Timing of the object, the visible object is the same, but it depends on the timing when it has impinged on the eye sense as to how many cittas experience it.
Thank you, everyone. Yes, I was also interested in the vipaka aspect of it. And I was posing this question about unconsciousness and realized this is a story. Coming back to reality is very basically citta is consciousness, and citta is when we know it's consciousness, seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, tasting, thinking. And then the story about someone who is being sedated, so we say conventionally unconscious, there's still cittas, so there's still consciousness, but in which way? And, well, it can be coincidence, but I opened the book of Kunsajina at the page of when we are fast asleep, we don't see or experience other sense objects. We do not think, so fast asleep. Could that be something, or couldn't we say it at all in the case of this conventional unconsciousness? So it says, Bhavanga cittas arise and fall away in succession all the time until we dream or wake up, and there's again seeing, hearing, and the experience of other sense objects, or thinking of different, turn page, subjects of the world. I'm skipping a bit. If we are fast asleep at this moment, we do not know anything. We do not see anyone who is here. We do not experience sound, odor, cold, or heat. The Bhavanga citta is not involved with anything in this world. It does not even know who we are, where we are, who our relatives and friends are. It does not know anything about possessions, etc. Whereas when we are not asleep, we remember things of this world, different people and the different stories. We connect with this. Yes. I think the question already was raised.
So just for those who haven't read Shanti's message on the list, she's interested in this subject because her father was put under sedation when he was near to passing away, and he passed away without regaining consciousness. And it was a condition for her to wonder about the reality of consciousness of the person who's under sedation. And so she's wondering whether it's similar to being in a deep sleep, being Bhavanga Chitta.
Again, what is there now in order to understand that? But without the understanding of what is there now, it's impossible to understand what we are talking about on any subject. What is there now? See, thinking without memory, can there be thinking about this and that? And no. It's only the idea, no one there at all. Even right now, living alone, in truth, no one lives, only a moment of reality arises and falls away. In truth, to understand the very moment, only one moment, which cannot be directly experienced. Because what appears and can be experienced must be all the nimitta of this and that all the time. That's why learning to understand in truth that actually there's no one, no me, no anything at all, nothing. It's only a moment of experiencing an object and then gone, never to arise again in samsara. This is the absolute truth, never change at all. And there can be many levels of experiencing the truth without the understanding of the truth. It's impossible to understand the direct understanding of what is now appearing. No idea. Being aware of what and what is that which is object of awareness. No understanding. That's why the understanding is the most important. To understand the absolute truth. For example, without seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, can there be any thinking about what? See, so there is seeing and it's gone for sure, never to return. But sanya, a reality, marks and remembers the object which is seen as something permanent. My dear one, my possession and everything. But in truth, where is it? If there's no thinking about it, it's not there at all. So the understanding of the truth can condition the less clinging to that which appears as something. Because what appears is nimitta, and the nimitta has different shape and form, no matter through what doorway, which is taken for something. Even, what's that? See, that means something. Ignorance of that it's gone and it's not anything, never to return. But ignorance is there, conditioned attachment to the sound, to be thought about as, what is it? What is that? So now, without understanding that actually it's just a moment of conditioned reality, non-stop, because as soon as acitta, the reality which experiences an object, has fallen away, it conditioned the next one by the paccaya, anantara paccaya, all the time in life, after death, and then new life again, on again, and then death and new life again, non-stop. Whereas I, no one, no I at all. consider what is true and what is not true will condition more understanding of letting go ignorance. Because actually, what is the world is only that which is there by conditions, arising and falling away, unknowingly all the time. So when there is a little more understanding of the truth, it let go ignorance and clinging to that which is non-stop, arising and falling away, unknowingly. No one can stop the conditions to condition such moment of arising and falling away. That's all. That's why the previous moment is moment of understanding the truth, to consider whether it's true or not. When there's no understanding, it's ignorance. It cannot understand the truth. Even there is not always seeing, not always hearing, not always thinking. It arises and falls away in split seconds all the time, unknowingly, from day to day, from moment to moment, from life to life, different by conditions. Who can stop seeing right now?
No one.
No one is gone. Who knows?
Panya.
Not anyone. What level of panya?
Beginning.
Yeah. Firm enough?
No. Not at all.
There's no doubt about what's meant by parami, the development of understanding, little by little. Now, this life, the life of parami, developed. Can this moment be directly known?
Not yet.
Can. Only when panya is ripe enough, right enough. Without a little bit of panya, can there be the strong panya? That's why each moment is so very precious, that moment of right understanding of the truth. And the truth is hidden. Only panya can begin to dig it up, little by little.
And I heard you say on the recording this morning, Kun Sujin, that to the wife of Ivan, when she was a widow, she said that she was alone at night coming home. And you said, you're not alone. You've got the Dhamma with you.
And what Dhamma?
The teachings of the Buddha?
Loba.
Oh.
Until it's not me, it's no I, no one at all. By conditions, not by wishful thinking or dreaming at all.
Nina, do you have anything you would like to bring up or any comments to add?
A friend said, being truthful to the truth, and they did not understand that quite. So what is the truth? That is this very moment. And being truthful is understanding as it is. This is a very short way of explaining. So I think it's useful if Ajahn can elaborate more on being truthful to the truth, because I know that she often refers to this.
So what is true now?
This very moment.
What is that?
It can be seeing or hearing.
That's one more. Seeing, right? To be truthful to seeing in a moment when it's there only.
Yes.
That it's seeing. Seeing is seeing. That is the truth. Seeing cannot be anything else. Seeing arises because it sees now. If it hasn't arisen, there cannot be seeing right now. Is this true? To be truthful to the truth of each word about each reality. When we talk about seeing, seeing cannot be anything else. It cannot be I or anyone or a cat or a dog sees. Seeing is seeing. To be truthful to seeing, that it is only seeing. It's just seeing. It's conditioned to arise just to see and then gone. So it's seeing, not anything else. To be truthful to seeing.
But it's so short. It's gone immediately.
It doesn't matter because that is the truth. To be truthful again to that which arises and falls away. Whatever arises falls away. To be truthful. Bring confidence of the truth. No matter what is seen as my thing, plate, pencil or anything. It's not there in truth. Just when it's seen, it's there by shape and form, taking it for something. But so many moments of seeing, which experiences only that which impinges on it. And what impinges on it, it's not a pen. It's not a pencil. It's not anything. It's only that. Only one reality among all kinds of reality that can be seen. Now, it's there. Only that which can be seen. To be truthful, the truth of each word of the truth. To consider whether it's true or not. When it's true, it's true. It depends on understanding. Whether it's firm enough, deep enough. To discern the truth, which is so very deep now, arise, whatever is now appearing, arises and falls away. So rapidly, unknown now. But it can be, little by little, understanding just one characteristic of the truth, the absolute truth, the absolute reality. Seeing is a reality. Hearing is a reality. So what is it in life? Only that which arises to experience. Otherwise, the world does not appear. Nothing can appear at all if there is no experiencing of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. That's all gone. Never to return from moment of birth. Where were those reality at birth? Where were those reality yesterday? And where were realities just a moment ago? To be truthful to the truth, little by little. That's why it can condition more understanding of the truth as no one and no thing and not permanent at all. So very short. The breaking world and the truth can be discerned, can be realized. Otherwise, it's only thinking about it that it's not permanent, it's gone now. Because now there is no precise understanding of any reality as it is only that reality. To be truthful to that reality that it cannot be with the other reality. Seeing cannot be together with hearing and thinking. Seeing is a moment. And in truth, only one moment of seeing. While there are other citta, that which arises and experiences the object before seeing and after seeing, but the other moment is not seeing. So it does not see, but it can experience the object which is seen, or which is there before seeing.
Isn't the last one is difficult for me.
Pardon?
Would you repeat the last sentence? I found it difficult. Before seeing.
You see that there can be just only one moment of seeing in the process of that which experience object through the eye door. See? Yeah. The chakkhutvara vachana citta cannot see, but it just knows the object which is there impinged on the eyebrow. And when it has fallen away, what next is conditioned by that which knows what is there at the gate, but does not see it yet. So the next moment, seeing arises to see it and then gone, performing the function of experiencing the object clearer than the other citta, which experience the same object, but it does not see. So now begin to see what seeing is. It's not the citta before seeing. It's not the citta after seeing, which share the same object because it hasn't fallen away yet, but only one moment performing the function of seeing. So it is the chief of experiencing the object so clear, because it sees, and through ear door, because it hears, this nose door, because it smells, see. So it's the moment of experiencing, the chief of experiencing the object, while the other mental factor, jetasikas, arise, having the same object, sharing the same object, but it cannot smell, it cannot touch or taste, see. That's why different function, different citta, just once in samsara, not just only once in this life, only once in samsara, never arise again. Not permanent at all. So how can it be I? When there is seeing, it's not I. Hearing, not I. Smelling, not I. Touching, not I. Thinking, not I. Liking, not I. Everything is just a reality. That's why by the enlightenment of the Buddha, he thought about what he has enlightened for the other to have such understanding that can experience and enlighten the truth as well, but different degrees. So now, if you don't listen to the teachings about seeing, how can there be the idea or understanding of seeing as it's conditioned without the eye base, without that impinge on it? There cannot be seeing. Even seeing a moment, just one moment, is conditioned by many conditions. Kamma, see, condition such seeing to see only that particular object, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, very pleasant or very unpleasant by conditions, by the degree of karma, to condition such moment. See, no like or dislike, yet just experience. But it can condition at the moment which follows. Ignorance is there. So what appears with shape and form as nimitta is taken for something very permanent, like now, every day. Nothing appears as arising and falling away. That's why this is the intellectual understanding, firm enough to be truthful enough to the truth, that it cannot be changed at all. And when it's firm confidence, it can condition moment of understanding what is there unexpectedly. No doubt about what is meant by sati sampajanya or satipatthana or direct awareness of a reality. my conditions just in a moment. And right understanding understands the difference between intellectual understanding, talking about seeing not permanent now, hearing not permanent now, but no understanding directly of seeing as what is meant by it, no one, it sees. No shape and no form at all, just arise to see. No doubt about the reality which has no shape and form, which arises and experiences the object and then gone. Just arise to experience and then gone. What form? Ignorance. To cling to that object as it's still there. But in truth, nothing which is seen is not there anymore. And that which sees, not there anymore. Only to see and then gone. And conditioned the next moment by anantarapajjaya, non-self. To be truthful to the truth.
Do you have something you'd like to bring up?
Yeah, just in addition to the seeing Ajahn just mentioned about, in a moment ago, Ajahn mentioned the level of experiencing the truth and very subtle of seeing a visible object, Ajahn just mentioned. I'm thinking that in the sutta, sometime we'll read that the text is quite not difficult to understand, but actually it's what it really very subtle to to be understood. So just thinking that seeing and visible object quite simple to understand normally, but after hearing it's become too deep to understand. I have the question regarding to the seeing a visible object. At the moment of the seeing, so the citta having the seeing experiencing, like different than the hearing, like the hearing experiencing characteristic of it. And like at the moment of seeing, see like the experiencing the visible object and the seeing, it's some like the mixing. Like not actually the seeing. At that moment, seeing is the visible object and like no distinguish in between. And the characteristic of the rupa and the citta, it's become unique. Yeah. So we have to elaborate a little bit more.
So your question is about the fact that seeing and visible object don't appear as separate realities, but seem to be mixed up together, right?
So that's why we have to hear and consider again and again, what is visible object now? And what is seeing now? So what is visible object right now?
Is what just seen.
What is seen? Does it experience anything?
No.
The visible object, does it experience
anything?
No, it
cannot experience anything.
Does it know anything?
No.
Does it like or dislike anything?
No.
Does it know that seeing sees it?
No.
Does it care if seeing sees it?
No.
No. It's just that reality which doesn't experience anything at all and arises and falls away without knowing or caring or minding at all. And what is the seeing now?
Can experience seeing the visible object.
Right. And as Ajahn said, it's the citta which experiences the object clearly. It's the only reality that sees the visible object. And because it's citta, it's pandra, it's clear. It clearly experiences that object. Does the seeing care what is seen?
No.
Does it feel happy or sad about what is seen?
At the moment of the seeing, no.
No. It just arises and sees the object, falls away. Does it think about it?
No.
No. So that this is why there has to be the very clear distinguishing between that which is experienced and that which experiences. And that which experiences the seeing, can anyone see? Can anyone experience?
No.
It's just the seeing itself which sees. And the visible object that's seen, can it be anything? Can it be anyone?
No.
No, just that which is visible now. But so quickly, as Ajahn said earlier, there's the idea of something there, something that is seen. And it's not the understanding of just visible object which is seen. So by considering again and again about different realities and clearly understanding the difference between those realities which experience the namas and those realities that don't experience anything, the rupas, there can be a little more letting go of the idea of I that experiences, I or something that is experienced, just one moment at a time. So any questions or comments about that?
No, I have no doubt about that. And we listened many, many times about the point.
And like you say in the beginning, when someone hears, oh, it's just seeing now and it's just visible object that's seen, it sounds very simple.
Right.
And in a way, it is simple because it's just the reality which sees and just that which is seen. But it's actually, as you said, deep and subtle because the clinging to the idea of self is so very deeply rooted. And to really let go of that idea of self takes a lot of careful considering and development of understanding.
Just add additional no comment that Ajahn also mentioned only at the moment of seeing, visible object can be seen, other following citta experiencing the same object but not see. So I think it could be similar at the moment of the hearing. Similarly, it experiencing the sound. So any difference in between these two kind of?
Exactly the same. Smelling, tasting, touching. At the moment of touching, the bodily consciousness experiences the hardness. It touches the hardness. The other cheetahs in the process, they experience the hardness, but they don't touch the hardness. Moment of smelling, the smelling consciousness smells the odor. The other cheetahs experience it, but they don't smell it, just the same.
But the characteristic of these following citta quite same characteristics.
Different functions. The function of seeing is to see the object. This is why it is seeing. The other cheetahs in the process, for example, the kusala or akusala cheetahs, like the object or dislike the object or have wrong view about the object, but no seeing of the object.
Understand. Say, at the moment of the seeing, it only see following kusala or akusala in the eye door. And similarly over the ear door, it kusala and akusala. And the object is the sound.
The sound. So when after the hearing of the sound,
and
same.
Two more vipaka cittas and one more kiriya citta, ignorance of the sound, but no hearing of the sound at that moment. Clinging to the sound experience, but no hearing of it.
Because over the maida, just also kusala and akusala, but about the concept, right? But over the ear door and the eye door, it the realities.
Right.
So my question is, any different characteristic of experiencing citta at the ear process and eye process? Because over the maida is the concept, it's just the concept. The voice or the everything is just the concept. But over the...
So is the characteristic of seeing the same as the characteristic of hearing? What is the difference between the characteristic of seeing and the characteristic of hearing?
Can be seen and can be heard.
So the seeing sees the object, and the object that has impinged on the eye door, on the eye sense, is different from the object which has impinged on the ear base, the ear sense. So seeing cannot see the sound, and hearing cannot hear the visible object.
Right.
So the nature of the seeing and what it experiences is different from the nature of the hearing and what it experiences. And the other cittas in the eye door process have to experience the same object.
And the experiencing characteristic in the eye door process and the ear door process quite different, right? Because characteristics of the object are different.
So we can say that whether it is seeing or hearing or any other other cittas in those processes, they have in common that they are cittas. They are pure, they experience the object clearly, but they have different characteristics too. The characteristic of seeing is different from the characteristic of hearing. The characteristic of seeing is different from the characteristic of the citta, that are the kusala citta or the akusala citta that experiences the visible object. And it's now.
Right,
it's right now.
Yeah,
seeing now, thinking now, hearing now. The nature of hearing now can be understood as different from the nature of seeing. The thinking with doubt can be understood as different from the seeing itself or the hearing. So it's right now.
I have a question. I have a remark to Chanti. I sympathize with your loss, Chanti. And I'm wondering whether you also find that when we better understand what seeing really is, it helps to understand our life and loss, and even help our family to understand loss.
Absolutely, Nina. I don't know if you hear it, but yes, it's my experience, absolutely.
Yes.
More than anything in my whole life. It's really, really helps.
But
and
how,
I think... How?
To understand seeing, what seeing really is. It helps to understand what our life really is. Isn't that true?
Yes. Yes. Very, very much. And... there's also realizing more how often we're not, and how often we're completely lost in thinking. And yet again today, Kunsi Jean brings me back, and this is why I really understand I have to keep on, or I, listening again and again. But yes, the answer is yes. Thank you. Thank you, Nina.
I mean, this life compared to other life in samsara that is long ago, all through this journey, this life is a very, very, very precious moment, because we are born into human and we have a chance to hear Dhamma. It's a very, very, very rare opportunity in samsara. Not that it's not easy. It's not easy to get this kind of opportunity like this.
Yes.
And coming back to your question, firstly, you asked about seeing invisible object. Do you have the same question about, say, hearing and sound, or is that clearer?
Say, at the moment of the seeing or hearing, I quite okay. But after that, over the eye door, is have the citta experiencing the same object, right? Like the visible object. It's the reality, not the concept. And over the ear door.
Sorry, concept, not reality, you mean?
No, I mean, over the eye door, following the seeing moment, is have the citta experiencing the same visible object.
I see.
And following the hearing moment, have the citta experiencing the same sound object. Mm-hmm. So my question is, any differences between the following citta experiencing the object among over the idol or the ear doors? Because it the reality is, it different than the over the mind door. Over the mind door is already the concept, like the concept of what the word, right? Or the thing we see. Or yeah, something like that.
I don't think the answer to that is going to help in understanding the difference between the moment of consciousness and its object. So I was just going to supplement to what Sarah has said, that the visible object is not what we think we see. It is that which, when experienced, gives rise to the idea of what we see. And it's the same in the ear door. The ear door is not the words that we think we hear. It is that which is experienced, which then conditions the idea of words being spoken. And just a final comment, we shouldn't be trying to find the moment. The difference will become apparent when awareness and understanding has been developed. It'll come at a time not of our choosing. Yeah. And the object will be one that's not of our choosing, also always the case. But it's useful just to talk about these things as a reminder, as we've just done. And there will no doubt be some reflection from time to time on that. But wanting to find out the difference is not going to help. In fact, it will be a hindrance.
I think that's an important point. A lot of these questions do not come from any understanding about what can be understood and what should be understood.
Betty has been waiting to speak. So I know, Betty, you're in the hospital. Glad you can join us.
Yes, thank you. I think I'd like to add to the answer. I think that, what's your name, Dong, was asking. The whole purpose of a process, sense door or mind door, is to better understand, to better sense, to have a deeper sense of the object, for instance, the jhavana jittas, which help to put the object, give the object more, I don't know, why don't we just use the word strength, but in terms of karmic understanding. But if you study a sense door process and a mind door process steps, I think this would help you to understand that the whole process is to better experience the object in the sense door process and to better cognize the object in the mind door process.
Real question now is what appears now, because that's what's important.
So is it just thinking, doubt, or seeing what appears now, always back to this moment?
Yes, thank you, everyone. I think every time I'm thinking many things, come back the answer about the now, what seeing now here, and everything is back to now. Yeah.
Otherwise, we're just lost in the story about different cheetahs and different processes and whether this is the same or different, but not understanding anything about this moment.
The trap is always there. We hear, we are corrected, we hear something we have not heard, and then we want to have that particular understanding. The self comes in again. So it's always there. The trap is there.
Wondering if Jyotika is still listening and if there's anything Jyotika would like to bring up today, just to give priority to those in their 90s. Hi, Jyotika. Yes, do you have any topic you would like to bring up today or any question?
No, I'm just very thankful that I can listen and try to follow and to see. It's very immense. Just this seeing is going on and on and on. It's, there's always seeing when you have the eyes open, and sometimes it's knowing from the seeing. I found it very beautiful to follow.
Well, I appreciate what you say, Jyotika. It can seem overwhelming and immense, as you say. And as the others have been speaking to earlier today, Sarah included, is the aspect of there is a reality that's appearing now. That is the most important thing. And you can say that's immense enough in itself, because it's not easy to sometimes even intellectually grasp. But if we consider it carefully, we can begin to see the truth of that. And little by little, our understanding can grow. So as you were saying, even though it's can be overwhelming and immense, it's only we're only capable of understanding of what the level of understanding we've accumulated, and there can be a beginning.
Now there's also this awareness that you cannot make it, that there is not a making, that there is not a wanting. Yeah, this is the experience of no self. I think that it is just being there. It happens.
Yes, well said, Jyotika. It's by conditions.
Yeah, by conditions.
At a moment of understanding or wise considering that it is just a moment of arising, a moment of experiencing, no one there, no one trying, no one doing anything, is there any overwhelming at the moment of understanding?
I don't know if I really understand.
Just for that moment of wise reflection, that it's just Dhamma, no one there, no one to do anything, no one experiencing, nothing experienced. No doubt, no overwhelming, no confusion at that moment. But afterwards, of course, there's thinking and doubting and wondering and confusion, different moments. But as the understanding develops, less and less confusion, less and less thought about overwhelming. Because actually, when it's no one there, then it's letting go of the all the overwhelming baggage. But when it's trying to do something, trying to focus, going to meditate with all that baggage, that is really what is overwhelming. The wrong path is overwhelming, but the right path is letting go.
I'm not simple enough. Seems I am, but
just that there's been so much ignorance, so much avijja, accumulated from lifetime to lifetime. Mm-hmm. So it takes a long time to consider carefully and really let go of the idea of I making or wanting or trying to make it happen.
But Sarah, letting go is also, I cannot let it go.
Correct. It's the because understanding of let's yeah. go. At the moment of understanding, seeing,
yeah.
idea of I seeing. So there is letting go at that moment of the idea of I that can see.
Okay. Oh, that happens. Also, that happens at the same time. Okay.
So letting go is the opposite of being overwhelmed. And there is that letting go at the moments of understanding.
Letting go, Pandya letting go, not that you who letting go. You understand, right?
Talking on seeing, hearing all the time.
To understand them.
Because it's there all day, but no understanding of the truth of it. And we talk yeah. about other thing while there is seeing and hearing. That's why even it's so close, how much ignorance and attachment is there not to understand the truth because of thinking about the other thing. That's why we talk about seeing again and again and again in order to begin to be conditioned, ignore seeing as it's so common. It's not I, that is not enough. Because understanding seeing means that is also the understanding of other reality when there is the understanding, the truth of seeing. Because it sees now. So at the other moment, it likes or it hates or it's whatever is there, concentration or whatever. That's why just understand what is there as it is can condition moment of understanding the nature of the reality which experiences the object. Because we can see that no matter how many different realities are there, but by way of categories, one arises not being able to experience anything at all because it's conditioned to arise to be hard or heat or cold or soft, that's all in a day. No understanding of the truth of it. Even it's now, all the time, like seeing now. That's why talking about what is there when there is time to think about it, consider that what is ignorance? It's moment of not understanding the truth of that. Which arises and experience an object in life. That's why there are in life or any life or life, the world must be that which arises by conditions to experience the object, an object one at a time, and the other arises, but it cannot experience anything, but it's taken for something all the time. Even it's hard now, it's not known as it's just a reality. Inside or outside? Never mind. Because it's just not understanding the nature of that object which appears. Touching here, inside or touching here, outside. What is the nature of that which is there? Not as anything. As just a reality that cannot be changed at all. Just arise and fall away in split seconds. So just one single unit cannot be known at all because of the succession of the arising and falling away of different ones like citta which sees and next moment it's not the moment of seeing. It's at the moment of other function. Who knows? Until we learn a lot and no expectation to understand whatever is now appearing to be object of understanding. By conditions, right now, hardness can be directly aware and understand as it's only there, a reality. All the words that we have heard would condition that moment of understanding the nature of that object little by little, so very little. If it's not directly aware of the object of awareness, how can there be the understanding of any truth?
Yeah.
Which is there so very short. Just arise and fall away. What appears is only the nimitta of a reality. And by the succession of the arising and falling away, it conditioned the nimitta of some shape and form to be known as what is what, like this is not that, so on. And this is life. Ignorance, attachment, and other unwholesome realities. So just learn to understand the truth. No more can be done. Because they are all around each moment, not known as it is. But it can be known because it's there, very short.
How to learn, Ajahn? Just by listening. Listening. How to learn?
What is the word here? Seeing. See, we don't talk about other things. We talk about seeing. So in truth, what is seeing? It sees, it cannot think, it cannot hear. It's only that which arises just to see and then gone. Never to arise again in samsara. Samsara is the circle of birth and death, non-stop, by conditions. For example, the past moment, previous one, is gone. It conditioned the next moment instantly. So who can stop the way it is? And that which arises and falls away, and the falling away of the past, the previous one, conditioned the next one instantly, right now, from moment to moment, that is one pachya, which conditioned just that which arises to experience an object, no matter it's through what doorway. So we have to understand each different doorway. For example, seeing is that which arises and experience that which can be seen only. Yeah. So now, what is seeing?
There's hearing at the moment, most important. Hearing, I hear you. Certainly. I hear your voice.
If there is no understanding of seeing right now, how can there be the understanding of other moment, like hearing, see?
And there is also seeing, but seeing and hearing, but it is not at the same time. I think it's just different.
Mm-hmm. And who knows the distinction between seeing and hearing and thinking?
Not me.
They are together, not anyone. It's a reality which can understand from here, considering, because what is considered is just right now. Seeing is a reality. It's not the sound, it's not the smell, and it's only one reality among all other realities that can be seen. So no word. Whether what is seen, no need to say visible object or light or whatever, or darkness, only that which is seen. Why? There is seeing. Without seeing, can that be seen? So there is a reality in truth by conditions to arise and experience an object, one at a time and different ones. By different conditions. For example, seeing is conditioned by the eye base, the special rupa, not just hardness or softness, because hardness and softness cannot condition seeing. So there must be a special quality of rupa different from other rupa, that can be the reality that the object which is seen can impinge on it only.
Yeah.
And now there is seeing that which impinge on the eyebase only, not that which is at the back.
Yeah.
And how fast it is to experience just that which is so very tiny, because the eyebase is so very tiny and that which impinges on it is so very tiny. We can break up the four primary rupas so very tiny, but it's still there. It's that which can be seen and smells, different rupas together by conditions. And there are so many conditions, not only one. That's why what is there depends on conditions for its arising. So now there is seeing, understanding, the moment of seeing. It is the moment of experiencing that which can be seen only. Without the eye base, seeing cannot arise. There's no world of sight, no world of things which is seen at all. No one at all, or are conditions. Because, for example, seeing, who can make seeing arise? Who can stop its arising? See, it's there already. That can condition moment of letting go, the clinging to whatever is there as I or thing. This is only one world of sight. Never change. No matter it's the star, the moon, the train, the airplane, or anything, it's seen only. But that which is the object of seeing is different from moment to moment. Different shape, different color, so that it make known as something all the time.
But things
always permanent there. Is that true?
I can't go on the whole day with this seeing.
And again, until it can think about it, the seeing, just think about what is heard about seeing, which is now sees, a reality, true. It's there, sees, a reality which arises just to see. It's true. Seeing cannot do anything at all. And as soon as it has arisen, it's gone. Because at moment of hearing, it's not seeing. As long as seeing is still there, there cannot be hearing or thinking. Just a moment at a time of a conditioned reality by conditions.
I want to do something.
Yeah, so that is
nothing to do.
It's real. Because there is the idea, thinking, not you. Thinking, see? So moment of wishing, wanting, is moment of thinking about something with attachment, desire. Okay. So attachment is another reality. Attachment does not see, it does not hear, but it is attached to that which appears, no matter it's that which you've seen or heard or smelled. Because it's a reality, it has the characteristic of being attached.
Yeah.
It arises to attach. Who can change it? Because it's a reality which is attached, so it arises to attach. So not I, not you, at moment right understanding begins to understand. It is different from seeing, it's different from hearing, because it is attachment. Whatever is there is real, that's why it is Dhamma, reality, absolute reality. For example, hardness, no matter touching what we take for body, or chair or food or anything. In truth, the absolute truth is only hardness.
Yeah.
If it's not seen, do you know what color it is? Chocolate or mango? See, all are seen by different conditions to be this color or that color. No word at all when it appears. So that which experiences an object right now, no matter we use the word citta or vijnana or pandra or whatever, we mean only that which is the chief of experience an object only. It does not like, it does not hate, it doesn't remember. It just arises to experience. And that is a function of what we use the term citta, the chief of experiencing the object clearly because it's the chief. So when we use the term the chief, it means that there are other mental reality which arises together, experience the same object together, but it's not the chief of experiencing. That's why there is citta nupassana satipatthana. With our understanding citta, as it's not cetasika, not hatred or attachment, it's only the reality which arises to just experience the object clearly, clearer than the other mental factor which arises with it and experiences the same object. Otherwise, how can there be moment of letting go, the clinging to citta as I see now, I hear now, I smell, I think? From birth, there must be the reality which arises to experience the object. Otherwise, it is not birth.
But Ajahn, who is knowing this all, this process?
Have you heard Sammasambuddha?
Yes.
By Buddha, or Buddha, and Samma, right?
The big one.
Virtues, highest, yeah. Great.
Same answer, Yotika. It's just another moment of consciousness that experiences or understands all this, that arises and falls away by conditions. See
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
So the.
But that I cannot understand. But I don't need to understand, I think. But. There's a willing to understand, I think.
Yeah. Well, when we hear it for the first time, it sounds implausible, perhaps, but when we consider it and in living our life, we can see whether yeah. our experience on a day-to-day basis is consistent with that or not. Is it possible to control the thoughts that come
no.
in?
No.
They happen by conditions. I think experience actually bears out that aspect of the teaching quite readily. But of course, because of our old habits.
So all this experience that it is not, that is uncontrollable. And so is also consciousness. Consciousness experience also that it is not controllable, for example. Or the knowing that it is not controllable is consciousness, eh?
Both the experiencing and what is experienced are things that arise by conditions and occur
yeah.
their own conditions.
And,
it's almost that time, but could someone recap, summarize what can, even though it's globally, be experienced? The rupas can be experienced of seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, and smelling. That's quite obvious that the cheetahs are experiencing these kind of rupas. These can be known. and thinking can be known, but chittasikas really cannot be known. It can be reasoned to be there. Is that all that can be known, these six? I mean, seven rupas and thinking?
Chanti, do you know anger? Is that a chetasika or chitta?
Chetasika.
Chetasika, but I'd like someone to recap what can be known. Just recap, because it's almost time.
For sure, tomorrow I can continue on about learning, because Jyotika was saying about there must be learning, and I like to continue tomorrow.
I was going to also add to Jyotika that what we're sharing together, the gift of the true Dharma, the teaching that there is no one there, so no one who can control anything at all. This is the best gift on one's birthday or any other time. So this is the very precious gift of Dharma.
From best friend, Samma Sambuddha.
And Chantio, just on your point, it comes back again and again to now, what appears now. If we try to set rules, if we say, well, these cheetahs can be known now, but chetasikas can't, it's just thinking a long story about dharmas. It's not the understanding of what appears right now, the confusion, the anguish, the seeing, the sound, just whatever appears, no matter how it's named. So it depends on conditions and accumulations as to what appears now, what can be known at this very moment.
Yes, but it's also impossible to know other things. So we're coming back to seeing, hearing, etc., because there are this moment and apparent.
Everyone, even if they've not heard the Dharma, they know there is seeing. So seeing is more readily apparent, but it's not a matter of just learning what is apparent, but beginning to understand what appears now. And it's that understanding which knows what is apparent, not what someone has told us.
Yes, and we could summarize, Shanti, by saying just the usual suspects, because what we talk about here is what can be experienced mostly, and the reason why there's so much talk about seeing invisible object and the other sense door experiences and the like and dislike and the feeling, pleasant and unpleasant, because these are the realities that can be known in daily life. A lot of thinking. That's about summarizes it.
These are the realities that can be known in daily life. Yes, that was my question. Thank you. But I understand Sarah as well very much. Yes, thank you.
Confusion now, wondering now, thinking now, doubt, seeing, hearing, what is there right now. I just see if Ajahn wants to add any last comments, otherwise we can continue tomorrow.
Yes, there is seeing right now. Is it true? So what is the truth of it when it's true? We might say it's just seeing, but what is seeing? It can be understood, and it can be discerned, the nature of it, directly, as it is. Directly means only one. At moment of understand seeing is not the moment of understand the other thing, right? That's why it does not hurt anyone to understand the truth. Mm-hmm. It's very beneficial, very precious before death, because just live without understand the truth of what is there at all. Turn away from it while it's here, to be known, and it can be known until it can be realized and enlighten its truth. What is the most precious moment of life? To understand what is there as it is, Otherwise, it's impossible to understand the truth of anything in life at all. And it goes on and on and on endlessly. No one, just different realities. So I think that just hearing the truth, conceding the truth, it doesn't hurt at all. More beneficial than other things. Yeah.